Over the last few weeks, John, Joyce, and Peter have spoken about friendship, and I'm going to continue that subject today. So, yeah, I think there's been some great stuff, and it's I'd encourage you to listen to the podcast if you haven't. And you know, this subject is not something that's just you know, we can deal with that quickly, because friendships take a while to build. So it's good for us to spend a bit of time talking about them. So we've heard that God loves us and He wants to be our friend, and we've heard how vital it is to be able to hear God, and to be able to hear God for ourselves, but also for our friends, that He wants to confide in us, and the need for the Father's resources in serving our friends, and that we need friends. We need friends, friends who will walk with us. And it's actually, God wants to give us friends as well. We're not meant to be alone. Friends bring joy, and they also go to God for wisdom for us. So we're gonna have a little look. We haven't got a lot of time, so I'm going to probably just rush through a couple of bits and drop a few others. But we're going to just start with love. Because love is our assignment. Love is our assignment. See, a lot of people are searching for things, the thing that they're called to in life. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there. What is it I'm called to? What is it? And I get so het up. What is it I'm called to? Now, I do believe that God's given us things to do, and He's in a special task that He's given us to do. But I just want to help with that question. If that's something you're facing, what is it I'm called to? I want to help you this morning. Because actually, we are called to love. We are called to love. And don't take my word for it. It's what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus said that, not me. We are called to love. Love isn't just about doing, it's about being, and doing flowing from that. The Bible says that many will say, I did this and that, but God said, I never knew you. So it's not just about what we do, it's about knowing God. Love, therefore, is about relationship. It's about being with Jesus. It's not a set of beliefs. God is love. And we've heard it before as well. God is a relationship. So relationship and love are intertwined. We can't have love without relationship. And that's why our friendships are so important. See, we can't do it alone. We weren't made to journey alone. You know, I love that line in the song. There's a song we sing. I'm really rubbish with song words. I know I'm in the team, but I really can't remember song words. Anyway, the song word that I'm wanting to remind myself of is I'm free to love you. I'm free to be, free to give, or whatever it is, free to love you. Yeah, all of those things. But I'm free to love you. And that's why our focus is freedom. That's why we're saying we're on a journey to freedom. Because we want to be free to love. Yeah? Free from lots of things, but free to love. So, I just want to say something quickly about church here. And I don't mean Living Waters Church. I mean His church, His bride. You know, I don't know if you've heard it, but there seems to be quite a lot of negativity about church these days. I don't know. I'm not saying just in here. I'm just saying there's negativity in church. And a lot of it is from Christians themselves, not just the world. And, you know, I agree there may be some things that the church haven't done that haven't been that helpful, that great. There might be some traditions that aren't great, but there are some that are brilliant as well. And we may not have been so good stewards, but let's not turn our back on church, because church is God's idea. He says He's coming back for a bride, That's us. So let's not turn our back on that. You know, he sent his only son. Jesus died, laid down his life for his bride. So we can't turn our back on church. We need to be part of the answer, part of, you know, making church the place that people want to be, the place where people find freedom, the place where people do find friendship, do connect with God. So let's not be part of the problem. Let's be part of the answer. So we are called to love others, help those in need, and give dignity to those around us. We've heard a lot about that. However, we are not God. I don't know if that surprises you, but we are not God. And we don't have the capacity to be a close friend with everyone like God can. He can, but we can't, not in this form, not in the human form. Maybe we can in heaven, I don't know, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But we can't. And that's not to say we shouldn't love one another, and we should be kind and give people respect and dignity. But I believe that's why Jesus came to earth, because we can see a lot in what Jesus did on earth. He came in as God in human form. And Jesus served a lot of people around him. But he chose and called a few disciples. Yeah? He chose them, and he invested and journeyed with them. And even to the point, it says in John 15:15, we've heard this before, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. So he was showing us a model of friendship. And I believe that it's, we need to look at that model. We're not going to go too much into Jesus' life at the moment, because I've got a few other things. But if we want to learn what friendship is about, we need to look at the life of Jesus. So I'm going to just pick out another story. This is a story about a group of friends. So it's Luke 5:17, verse 26, if you want to turn to it. We probably have it. We've got it on the NIV. Have you got it in the New Living Translation? Can you switch to that? Only because that's what I've got in front of me. If you can't, don't worry. So Luke 5:17. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." I love that story, because it's about a group of friends, five friends, and one of them is paralyzed. Now, I don't know what happened to him. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say what happened to him, but he couldn't walk. And now those friends, I don't know whose idea it was, but they'd obviously heard about Jesus, and one of them probably decided, wouldn't it be a good idea if we get our friend to Jesus? Now, the first thing I want to pull out is that they had faith. Because why would they want to take their friend to Jesus unless they believed that Jesus could do something about it? Yeah. So they had faith. They believed, they trusted in God. And I love that story because it's a group of friends who together trusted in God for someone else. And that's a good model for us at times. We might be the person who is paralyzed, as it were, or we could be one of the group of friends. But we need each other to trust God for each other, to have faith, to take people to God. When we can't do it ourselves, we have faith in God. Those who have faith in God. The other great thing is they turn up to this house with this stretcher, and I expect there were like lots of people hanging out the windows and all around the house, and they thought they could have at that point thought, we're never going to get in there, and given up and turned around, but they didn't. They were determined. They were persistent. And sometimes in our journey with each other, we've got to be a bit determined. We've got to be persistent, not giving up. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of this, and I'm, you know, this is why I'm sharing it, because I'm on this same journey with you. But I have sometimes heard of a need with friends and have spent time praying about it and then gone away and carried on. And actually, sometimes, you know, so there's something that God might be speaking to us that we've got to be persistent about on behalf of our friends. Take it to God. Keep taking it to God. Journey with them with it. Not just quick prayer, that's done, I've done my bit. No. Sometimes God wants us to journey with people in their difficulty and journey with them. And that's part of friendship. Be determined. Don't give up. You know, and it may be people that don't even know Jesus yet. You know, I'm not talking just about those who are Christians. It might be those that don't even know how to get to God. I've had a few experiences of this where, you know, I've been speaking to someone who's, you know, desperately, desperately in need of Jesus, but don't know that they need Jesus. Have you been in that scenario? And they don't even have any concept of who God is, so they can't even yet trust in him. Now, that's a difficult place, because you sometimes think, well, I sort of know what you need, but I can't do it for you. That's when we need to take that friend to Jesus on their behalf. Okay, and I'm sure you've all got situations like that. Take them to Jesus on their behalf. And then hear what God is saying. So I'm going to quickly push on to another example of friendship. This is a different one. So this one is between two people, not a group of friends. And this is between David and Jonathan in the Bible. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament. Now, let me give you some background into this. Saul was the king of Israel. Okay, he was the first king of Israel because Israel decided they wanted a king after they'd had a period of judges. Samuel was the judge and prophet at the time. And Saul was anointed king of Israel, and Jonathan was his son. Because of Saul's disobedience, God led Samuel to appoint a future new king over Israel. And he led him to David, who was a shepherd boy, as we know. Well, we might know. he tended his father's flocks in the hillside. And God clearly spoke to Samuel, and he was anointed as the future king. So we might have heard the story of David going to his brothers at the time of war, and his brothers were fighting in Saul's army, fighting against the Philistines. And David was going to take some supplies to his brothers, and they, at the time, they were fighting, and they were in quite a lot of fear over the big giant Goliath. Who's heard of Goliath? Yeah, good. Goliath. He was one. He was the, like, I don't know, a giant in the Philistine army, and nobody wanted to fight him. Now, I won't go into that story because that's not part of what I'm preaching about. But that's how David was introduced to Saul, because I missed that bit. David decided to go, felt that he could he built, trusted God and went and fought Goliath and defeated him. And then David was brought back into the presence of Saul. And David got the opportunity to speak to Saul. And we pick it up in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. Now, this is a story of covenant friendship. The word in there, love, is actually translated as a brotherly love. That he saw something in David, and I believe what he saw is he saw a man after God's heart, and that's David was described as a man after his own heart, and I believe that Jonathan was perceptive to see God in him, and wanted to commit to that person, but their friendship develops, but. In that verse 4, he says, Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David. What he did in doing that is basically he laid down his rights as an heir to the throne, because he was the son of Saul. And what he was doing is sacrificing his rights. And that was a big thing. But he recognized God in David, and he chose not to be envious or jealous, but submitted to him, sacrificing his rights to David. It's the same, really, with the disciples. They gave up their livelihoods when Jesus called them and sacrificed their livelihoods to follow Jesus. So one of the things I want to pull out of this is sacrifice. Friendship involves sacrifice, and often it's sacrificing our own rights, which is quite a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing, but sacrificing our own rights, like Jonathan did, to to be in close friendship with someone. So this story is about a close friendship. Saul, in chapter 19 of 1 Samuel, verse 1-13. Goes on a little bit more about their relationship. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David because Saul got very jealous of David and obviously was probably sort of seeing he was the future king, and Saul got quite angry, and there's lots of different, there's lots in the story about the relationship between Saul and David. But he was trying to kill him. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out." So the other aspect I want to bring out here is Jonathan was incredibly loyal to David. And friendship involves loyalty. And loyalty is not something that suddenly changes when somebody offends you or when something doesn't go right within the relationship. Loyalty is a much deeper thing. You are loyal to that person. We've heard, I think Peter spoke about it, that gossip splits up friendship, separates the close friends, and that's why. We've said it before, and we're on that journey that actually gossip is deadly to this path of journeying as friends. Gossip is the enemy to loyalty, and people try to build friendship with gossip. I don't know, you've probably been with a few people when they like to sort of talk about someone, and they're saying it because they want to actually try and have something in common and talk about someone else and build a relationship often. But relationships built on gossip will not last. So, you know, and if you are the receiver of gossip, you hear people saying about things, saying things about someone else, then, you know, either say that you don't want to hear, or just completely, you know, discount it, and keep loyal to your friends. You know, if you need to, go and talk to them about something. That's fine. Be real with them. Be honest. But guard your friendship. Do not let gossip drive a wedge between friends. So, the other one aspect I want to bring out of their relationship is passion. Jesus gave up his life to bring us relationship with the Father, but he did it for the joy set before him, it says in Hebrews 12:2. And there's usually a driving force also in friendship that's not just, you know, it's fun. It's got joy in it. And it's got determinedness. It's got activeness. It's got emotion. So that's what I mean by passion. There's emotion. There's times when David and Jonathan wept together. So I would encourage you as well just to be real in friendship with your emotions. You know, I like the example of David and Jonathan because I think it's one of the few that depicts really healthy relationship. And especially us guys find it really hard to talk about real emotional things. I don't know why, but we do. And it's quite hard to do that, but you know, I think often it's because of our insecurity or shame or pride or whatever it is. This isn't just guys. I know it's ladies as well, but I can only speak from a perspective of a guy. But the effect is that there is, you know, there's a lot of lonely people around because they're not able to be real with each other. So, what I've just been describing is about friendship. That I'd like the word friendship being forged, you know, out of sacrifice, loyalty, and passion. You don't just meet someone, send them a friend request on Facebook, and then they're their best friend. You know, that doesn't usually, well, that doesn't happen. That's superficial. Friendship grows and is forged through the good and the bad. You know, when I was doing a little bit of engineering in years ago, I got the opportunity to do a bit of welding. And welding is when two bits of metal are heated to a temperature and they flow together, and there's a join that is as strong as the metal itself. And you know, I like that analogy because it's a little bit like friends where they're welded together, and it can be through the hard and the good times. It's like that there's the heat in there, but there's a flowing together that once that's set, that's strong. Just I'm going to be a little bit deep for 1 minute, so if you don't get this, don't worry. But not all community, I believe, is forged in love. So some is forged around common enemies. And what I mean by that is, as an example, I think there's more of a political, I think, spirit that's around today that is more about fighting against something and people gathering around that, and you're fighting against, that's the common thing. And it brings people together, but it's forged around an enemy and something to stand for. I also think that's similar to, you know, I think there's an equality spirit that is that is around where people are standing up and fighting for being equal. You know, and it's about a fight. Now, I am not against standing for injustice, and I'm not against standing for equality and all those things, but stand from the place of love, not from a place of fighting. And I think that's why I wanted to just bring that for some people. It's easy to get pulled along and pulled into a fight, but come from a place of love and stand from that and see God's heart for people and care about the injustices and things that are happening in the world and stand for those, but don't gather with people just to stand for a fight. Okay, I'm just going to drop that there. So we're going to move on. We're going to have some time of having some communion in a minute. But God just said one thing. He dropped one other thing into my heart this morning, and I just wanted to bring that quickly. And it was about loneliness, because I've just very quickly spoken about friendship and close friends and a group of friends, but not everyone is in that place at the moment. There's an incredible amount of lonely people. And not just out there, it could be in here. There's a lot of lonely people in the church. And it's a desperate place. It's a painful place. And I don't believe that's where God wants us to be. I don't believe that's healthy for anyone. And I don't believe that's where God wants us to be. But I just would encourage you, if you are in that place, to take the few steps. First of all, recognize that Jesus wants to be your friend. That's the first thing. You know, Jesus knew what it was like to be lonely. You might think, well, how was that when he was God and, you know, he's with his Father? And well, when he came to earth, when he took our sin, when he died on that cross, his Father could not look at him. And that at that moment, he knew extreme, and the thing that he was going to do, he had to do alone. And that's so he knew what it was to be completely lonely at that point. The people around him weren't with him, and his Father and the Holy Spirit had to turn their back because they couldn't, because he was taking the sin of the world. And the sin of you and me. So he knows what it was to be completely cut off from relationship at that point. And because of that, he can identify with you in that point place. And so, but it didn't finish there, thankfully. He was reunited. And that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to unite you with himself and with others. So firstly, Jesus understands what it's like. So let him come in. Let him be your friend and begin to trust him. Secondly, when you're lonely, it can, and you may have a lot of different things going on, a lot of different struggles. It's very difficult to look past that. And so I would encourage you, if you're trying to build relationships, trying to build friendships, I would encourage you to look past what's currently going on in your life right at that moment. Not that it's not important, but I would encourage you to go and talk with people and ask them about their life. Ask them what's going on with them. Get a perspective that's not just about what's happening around you. Okay? It's not that it's not important. But as we start to give people what they need, we will get what we need. Okay, so it's just a practical thing. Don't talk about yourself all the time. Go and find out about what other people need. And that will take you a step towards building friendship. Because, you know, nobody, when you're listening to someone going on about all their problems, that's not very attractive. Doesn't mean people don't love you, don't care, but it's actually, you know, it's actually more engaging if you talk to someone and ask them about themselves. Thirdly, and this is one for all of us, let us be more aware of who is on their own and who is feeling lonely. You know, we've all got to do it. It's all our responsibility. You know, we need to become more aware and who's on their own. Now, we can't, not one person can do it all. You know, it's not about one superhuman who's able to be the friend to everyone. It's not. We're, you know, it's not the responsibility of Daniel and Tanya or anyone else to be the friends of everyone. It's not going to happen, I'm sorry. Because we can't. It's not how we were designed to be. But we can all take responsibility and be friends of others around us. So it's all of our responsibility. We're on this journey together.